Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off to Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
It's all this our standing amount. Take caller 9 now at 844-999 Ola, and you'll play profile this in minutes. But first, Robin, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast 100-year-old Diego of San Diego, California. Now, first, a little background. Back in 1977, there were less than 20 giant tortoises left on Española Island, which is part of the Galapagos. So, risking extinction, a group of researchers started a breeding program, and they had Diego heading the entire experiment. By the time the program actually started, the number had dwindled down to 14. Now, over the next 43 years, Diego and his researchers, they managed to get that number up to 2,000, which, by the way, is more than their original goal. Anyway, like I said, Diego is 100 years old, actually had to retire from the program for obvious reasons. But we're toasting him today because Diego is the giant tortoise responsible for saving his entire species. Thank you, Robin. The researchers say that female tortoises, and I'm not making this up, this is a quote, find Diego extremely attractive for some reason. And as a result of his prolific sex drive, they call it, it resulted in 800 of the 2,000 current giant tortoises.
What do you think it is about Diego that the female tortoises find him so attractive?
I saw a picture of Diego, and look, by no means do I know how to judge a turtle's attractiveness, but he was as stunningly ugly as I find most tortoises to be. But man, this guy, I want you to understand, they thought they're going to have to use multiple tortoises. And again, they started this in 1977. They took Diego from the San Diego Zoo, that's where he was. They took him down to the Galapagos, they let him out in the wild. My man crushed it. All right. He is the playboy. I don't know if he has like a little curly mustache in the end, if he can do what Ron Jeremy did, but he did something. They didn't need other tortoises. They did not realize how fertile my man was or how attractive the other females found him. Even when
could
it brought other males
getting
in.
On that island, man. You've been in a zoo your entire life, and now here you are. It's like being dropped on an island of naked people.
That's what I'm saying. But everyone there wants to have sex with you.
With Diego.
And you find all of them attractive. They said that this dude was voracious. Like it was, they had no idea that he had the sex drive. He just happened to be one of those species. We'll give it a whirl. They dropped his ass off and like he got to it.
So why do they basically say that he is now put in retirement? What does that mean?
Because he, honest to God, because he's 100 years old and it's not so much that, but at 100 years old, he's starting to struggle to mate now.
Okay.
Now that said, I want to be clear, they didn't take him back to the San Diego Zoo. They kept him on the island. So
How do you announce a retirement for an animal having
this
sex?
This is what I'm saying. He's not doing it in any official capacity. But like, my man has had 43 years of all the turtle ass he wants. The ladies line up for him. I don't think he's retiring. I don't think they gave him a gold watch and sent him on his way.
Usually, right, the only other way I've heard about that is horses that retire to stud.
Yeah, like, who's the big one now? I can't think of the name, but I guess they had their
anybody
first
wins
offspring.
A Triple Crown.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This dude went down there, swung for the fences. 40% of the population is related to him. He's like Genghis Khan or Sean Kemp.
Yeah, as far as the money made on the Triple Crown, there is no money made on the Triple Crown compared to the money that's made to stud the animal after the race.
Yeah.
It's the best phrase in sports. Retire to stud.
But now wait, when you stud a horse, does it get to have sex, or are they artificially inseminated?
Depends on the horse.
Oh, man, don't ruin it for me.
No, I'm right. The dream as a dude is like, hey, man, I get to lay down the business, not I'm giving a semen sample.
Well, Al Gore never had a problem with that.
Hey, everybody.
You know what I mean? Like, either way, someone's going to walk up. You're going to end up taking care of business, right?
How long was he in the I almost said jail. How long was he in the zoo before he got back to the island?
Well, let's do the math, all right? So he's 100 years old. They just retired him for his sexual prowess. It's 43 years ago. So it's, I don't know. He's probably already like 50-something, man.
Sounds to me like
he was already an old man.
Also reintroduce animals into the wild with some rate of success. Depending on the animal, obviously.
No,
and
they're
the situation.
Pointing out Diego is a special kind of giant tortoise, Miles.
Okay.
But here's to Diego. Right,
and like, what? Here's my thing. Did he have that much sex drive, or he just spent 50-some years without seeing a woman, so for the next 40 years, he's like, I'm not.
That very well could be.
I'm not wasting this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter. Either way.
I'm just imagining seeing that
he took advantage of the situation.
Yes, yeah. Give him
first giant tortoise.
And this is a turtle speed, so it's not like some quick thing. But either way, here's to you, Diego. We pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola!
All right, Wobbin, the game is...
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill-Hill, can you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Josh. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Josh, you understand how this here game is played?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Now, first of all, I think we all know that waiting in a long line, that's just part of the experience of going to the DMV. Pretty much all of us know that going in. But I say pretty much all of us. Not apparently all of us, however. There's a 28-year-old woman from Jersey City, New Jersey. And she went to the DMV last week, and apparently she got very, very, very frustrated with the long line in front of her. And I say this because she started beating up the employees, bitching about how long she'd had to wait. She also smashed $23,000 worth of computers and equipment, kicked police officers, came to arrest her. This is a beautiful woman you want to take home to mom. Now, the cops did find a cigarette on her that was laced with PCP, which actually explained some things, but she was arrested for criminal mischief, drug possession, aggravated assault, and hindering apprehension, which goes back to her kicking the cop that tried to arrest her. But my question for you, do you believe that this woman who started beating up employees at the long line of the DMV in New Jersey is black, white, Mexican, or Asian?
Oh, man. New Jersey, that's East Coast, so I don't know. Everyone gets pissed off at the DMV. Let's ask some racial consultants, huh?
See, that's the problem with the DMV. Look, two things I would throw out. One, New Jersey, any kind of person on earth lives in New Jersey. Two, I don't care who you are, if you're stuck in a long line at the DMV, you lose your ass.
I had to get that new driver's license thing over the break, so I went to the DMV. Here, and to be honest with you, the Washington State DMV does a pretty good job. It still took 2 hours.
2 hours?
I waited for 2 hours.
And that's a pretty good job.
And I wish they just would have sent me off and told me, look, it's going to at least be 2 hours. So if you need to do anything.
Do it like the beeper at a chain restaurant.
Yeah, instead of just sitting there, I could have gone and done some grocery shopping or anything else.
We'll buzz you when you're ready.
I just didn't know it was going to be 2 hours. You know, I just keep looking at the numbers ticking like, is this ever going to happen?
You're right. That's part of the frustration. Trust me, the best DMV experience I ever had was the line was way too long and looked at the numbers, drove to another DMV. It was going to be just as long. Went back, and my number was almost called. Like, as I
Well done.
Perfect. But, yeah,
well
I'm trying to think. Jersey City. You're right. That, you know what? I never really thought about that. That is why people are so mad in line, because there's no wait time.
Right. You have no idea how long you're going to be there.
Right. And in their defense, they probably don't know how long it's going to take and what people...
Because everybody's different. Everybody's going there for something different. It might be a boat trailer license. It might be all kinds of different stuff.
But whatever the case. And we understand the frustration, but you still have to draw the line of beating up the employees. And it's not their fault, right?
And they found a PCP laced cigarette.
That is correct.
Which is a sherm.
I believe... They said they found it on her, laced with PCP.
Again, PCP typically, in my world, goes white or black, doesn't it, Ted?
Yeah. Now, granted, PCP was massive in D.C., so that would make you think black. But D.C. also is a very black city.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. Jersey City, though, man.
See, PCP explains a lot. PCP, and I said this earlier on the show, it's the equivalent of, like, rabies for people. You lose your mind, you get aggressive, right? And you cause problems where problems do not exist. But Jersey City is full of people, and no one's happy waiting in line. So you had PCP to being stuck in a line at the DMV. Bad things are going to happen.
Josh, I'll tell you what my theory on this one is. And I realize that people on PCP don't have their mind in the right place. But either way, you still have some sense of what's going on, right? So because this person, this woman, attacked cops and started to try to beat them up and fight them, I'm going to say she's white.
All right, white. I see your theory there. What were our choices again?
Yeah, black, white, Mexican, or Asian?
Yes. But remember, she started with the employees first. Like, she brought this on herself. She wasn't causing a disturbance by, like, yelling. I mean, she physically attacked the people that work there. Again, PCP makes you do that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm just familiar with them being called dippers. Hey, seriously, that's what they call it. Because you just dip the tip of the cigarette in there, and then you can smoke the whole
thing. Did you hear that, kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's that guy.
Yeah, they have it on that new movie with Brad Pitt and whatever.
Yeah.
Shit goes all crazy. It's great.
Yeah, man. Man, I'm with you. Just the PCP makes me lean black, but then it makes me think it's a trick. I'm going Asian.
You're going Asian?
Ooh.
I just think maybe Thrill's trying to trick us.
I'm not trying to trick you with anything. Dude, I did not. I'm not lying about the PCP.
No.
They're just having to have the PCP.
I'm saying trick us into thinking PCP's so one way.
I did not realize that you guys would automatically assume the people on PCP are black, even though I'm the only one on the show that regularly smokes PCP.
It's embalming fluid. It's fine.
I'm going to stick with my guess of white.
You're sticking white, huh?
I'm going to stick with white because she attacked
Asian,
the cops. Mexican, black, or white?
I think I'm going to go Mexican on this one.
What, you guys crazy. Are all over the place.
We're picking everything we can.
Those Mexican ladies get a little crazy sometimes.
Okay. Josh is going to go Mexican. Ted, you're going to go black?
No, I went Asian.
You're going to go Asian.
Like, everyone assumes the PCP is a black drug, but no one will pick black, even though the only drug they found is PCP.
I'm going to go white. Josh, you're sticking with Mexican. Ted, you're going Asian. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. We're going to find out if she is black, white, Mexican, or Asian next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Mentor Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We head to New Jersey on Profile This.
Yeah.
28-year-old Jersey woman. She goes to DMV, and like most DMVs, you're going to wait there for a while. Well, sure. She didn't want to wait for a while. And she got pretty pissed off, and she started beating up the employees there at the DMV, and then started smashing computers, did a ton of damage.
$23,000 worth of damage.
And then the cops came, and she fought them.
Well, sure. Now, to be fair, Miles, she's not all bad. She was also high in PCP, which goes a long way to explaining. But, Josh, we asked you, did you believe that this woman was black, white, Mexican, or Asian? And let's see, Ted, you went Asian.
I did.
Miles, you went white, and Josh, you brought it to the rear with black. Is that correct?
No, Mexican.
Mexican. Mexican. My bad. My bad. Well, Mexican. I'm sorry. She was not Mexican.
Not Mexican.
She was not Asian.
Okay.
So she was black or white. Michael
doesn't
Jackson
matter.
Will tell you it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to you. You are, we're tracking. But Miles, you're correct. She was in fact white.
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
So it was a trick.
Know your PCP.
It's not a trick.
That's what we do. Now for all TV news all time, time for TV Time
and
Tan.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box.
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
I don't want to defend it, but Rick Ross loves lemon pepper chicken wings.
Does he love lemon pepper? Why do you know that?
Because I saw a special with him on Viceland, the TV channel, and I thought it was so cool. He put in his order, and he was like, I want 24 lemon pepper wings, all flats.
Damn, all right. My man knows what he likes.
He also owned the chicken wing joint.
Okay, that goes makes it a little easier.
He's going to be that specific. let's see here. So there's a new poll out, right, that had the most offensive shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this won't shock you, but don't worry. But South Park won for most offensive show, right? Got 30.7% of the vote. Now, all of us in here have one episode that I think we think is our favorite. It's obviously
absolutely
very offensive. Keep in mind, Randy Marsh is on the Wheel of Fortune. So there's only one letter missing. All right. And he makes a bad call and gets known as that guy for a while.
Category is people who annoy you. Audience, keep quiet, please.
Well,
10 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
Well, I know it, but I don't think I should say it.
5 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
All right, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Huh? Oh, naggers, of course. Naggers.
Of course.
Right.
Can we cut to,
So, Venture Facebook page has the other offensive shows on there. But South Park wasn't done. Because a new poll came out that had who's the most offensive characters. Eric Cartman won that one.
Well, sure.
Now, I'll tell you
today, he's the antagonist.
Mike and I went online for a decent amount of time trying to find a Cartman thing to use. And, like, that one seems aggressive. Cartman stuff was, I was like, I'm not playing that.
Right, you can't.
Yo,
yeah. You know what's amazing?
And it's only funny, again, because it's a small child cartoon.
In the context of what he's saying, it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, the context of what they do makes sense. There's obviously more to that particular episode we just played. And when you watch it, it's exceptionally poignant. One of the things I find crazy now, and I read this morning, all right? So South Park does what South Park does. And I guess they did an episode about, you know, the priest in the Catholic Church basically is having their way with kids because that's what they do. They get protected, etc. This is not news to anyone. So they put out this episode, and obviously the Catholic Church does have a response. This is what's mind-blowing, just to give you an idea of how far South Park's come. So whoever the guy is that represents the Catholic of America, he says, hey, man, the problem that we have, well, they called South Park a group of cowards, not for poking fun at the Catholic Church, but it was an inaccurate, and again, I'm not saying this. This is what the Catholic Church said. It's an inaccurate portrayal of what's been going on because they make it sound like these priests molest kids when in fact 85% of our priests molest adolescents. That was this morning. I read this like,
yeah,
so man, oh man. Right. So they were like,
so
hey,
it's just hairs,
hey, man.
He's putting the hairs on
that's
the age.
Said. They weren't
the
saying, hey, try not to do this. We're having a tough enough time.
Well, at least they know the
response. And I give them credit. Like, at least you've come far enough to admit with the worst kept secret on earth. Like, yeah, we molest people, all right? But they're adolescents, not kids. You're making us look bad. Yes, that's South Park's fault that you look bad.
Know we all demographics.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, think about that. Like, that's your defense.
No, that's just their
we've come a long
explanation.
Way.
Like, yeah. Hey, look, man, you're targeting the wrong guys. The kids, I should say.
It's adolescents, not kids.
Kind of interesting. Eric Cartman was the most offensive character with 18% of the vote.
Complete anti-Semite.
And then followed up by Archie Bunker, Peter Griffin, Roseanne Barr, Al Bundy, Donald Trump, Stewie Griffin.
Right, fair enough. I mean, it's all the people you'd expect, right?
Yeah, and you're right. Like, Archie Bunker, whenever I've seen it, like, he's kind of like that episode of South Park. Like
he was Eric Cartman grown up.
Yeah, and it's almost like he's racist to make a point about
it. Well, the difference is when Eric Cartman says something about the chairs or whatever, it's a cartoon character. You know, when Carol O'Connor did it, he's right, doing
a real life person.
As a person who's like, Dad, you know, like, and he's just, and that's the character who he is. I don't care, sitting in my chair, you know.
Yeah.
Huh? So to me, that was a little bit more, not shocking, but it was more real.
Oh, and shocking, because back then you could have an honest conversation. People cry and whine about everything now, right? Your spine has been replaced by Jell-O, and we have to deal with it. So in the day, you didn't have to agree. For whatever reason, people think it's so important to agree. Who cares? But you could at least have a conversation, and that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
You can still have a civil, you don't have to agree about anything, but you could at least have a civil conversation.
Because the conversation, wasn't even the world.
Yeah.
Still not.
Right.
Still not.
In the heat of the night.
Oh, wow.
That's what I remember.
Oh, yeah. You forget that 10-year difference. Yeah, you got a completely different version of that guy.
Remember in the heat of the night
he turned into a cop. Right.
I never watched that.
I mean, it's just the reverse side, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Still racist, but.
Yeah, I mean, it was based on, what was it, a novel, movie, play, whatever the hell it was, but yeah. It's,
now I'm a cop. In this way.
Now I'm a racist cop.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, hey,
what are you two young men doing in this neighborhood?
You find your niche and you go with it.
Hey, man, he excelled. It was weird, though, as a kid, like you'd see an interview with him or something, and it was like the nicest guy.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't offend me as a kid, but you recognize him as the grumpy. And when I was growing up, he was every other neighbor you had anyway, right? So, but then you see him in an interview and you're like, Mom, he seems nice. My mom's like, he's an actor. Jesus Christ.
Who's the guy that's like a real good actor that was the just like the horrible Nazi and Inglorious Bastards?
Chris Waltz? I can't probably say his name. Yeah.
But he's one of those that, like, I know he's a good actor, but he was so kind of evil in that movie.
So evil.
I have a hard time, like, looking at him.
But people love him in Hollywood, he's a great too. Actor. They're like, dude, he's great to work with. He's easy to work with. He's exceptionally professional, very encouraging. You hear the stuff. Mm-hmm. But then when they show a clip, it's like, deaf to Jews?
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay.
Yeah, man.
That's a bit much.
It is. It's tough. It's like when you see a good actor who's always a good guy. It was like when Denzel came out with Training Day. It was shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Denzel had always been kind of the hero, and now he was just not.
But he's still kind of the same person.
But your wife still wanted to sleep with him.
I meant nothing. That meant a good, bad. I just want to meet some Denzel D.
When you guys were in school, like, everybody has their favorite teacher.
We didn't have history class. Fine, Ted.
We were doing it.
We were creating the next subject for y'all.
But you might have a teacher you liked or a teacher you hated.
Yep.
And did you have a weird teacher?
Oh, always.
Many. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes teachers lose their mind.
But this past teacher, everything was nifty.
Everything was nifty?
Everything was, isn't this nifty?
Then he's a cannibal or something.
He's a scientist.
If you say I don't trust
him. He taught science. So everything was, isn't this amazing? Oh, when they come together, what do they get? Oxygen. We need that. Isn't that nifty?
Oh, that kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bob Ross of science.
Oh, yeah. He was so excited about it. He was the perfect guy to teach it.
Jimmy Fallon had a pretty funny thing. People tweeted in about their weird teachers.
Now I'd like to share some of my favorite My Teacher is Weird stories from you guys. Here we go. First one is from Matt Marcus Silva, 73. He says, Thriller came out when I was in third grade. My teacher learned to moonwalk, and if you had a question, he'd moonwalk across the room to your desk. This one's from at Matt Ioro. He says, a former teacher of mine once answered the phone in the middle of class, had a conversation in Russian, then rushed out of the classroom. He never came back.
I have the documents. Meet me in the cafeteria.
Your cover is blown.
This one's from at Jmar Degenius. He says, my English teacher had a prosthetic leg, and when kids fell asleep in class, he'd take it off and slam it on their desk to wake them up.
Come on, shake a leg.
This one's from at Doug E. Ben 090900. He says, in college, our math professor leaned on the ledge of an open first floor window while lecturing, accidentally fell out of the window. Mid-sentence, he reappeared through the classroom door minutes later and kept lecturing as though it didn't even happen.
Play to play.
This one's from at Lola B. She says, one time I had a Mars bar sitting on my desk. My high school math teacher grabbed it, threw it on the floor, stood on it, and yelled, look, a man on Mars.
Here you have a good Tonight Show hashtag.
I had a teacher once, right? Like, you know how you have homeroom in the beginning?
Yeah.
So you get in there, shocking. high school. I was a little bit late getting there. But as I get into homeroom, right, there's just this voice from the back of the room that's like, get down. I'm like, what the hell is going on, right? So I kind of get down. I notice everybody else in my class is already under their desk, right? And I'm like, what is going on? It's like, there's a bat in the hallway. It was like...
Times have changed on the get down.
No, no. Used to just be a bat in the hallway.
Right.
But you can imagine half the class, like I was like, all right, whatever, it's a bat. The other half of the class was like, there's a bat out there.
Yeah, right, the freak.
Cool. That lady, man, she was such a good teacher, but she was scared to death of that bat.
Yeah. We had a teacher, Mr. Roscoff, ninth grade, and he's one of the nicest teachers we had. He was the only teacher that did not hate everyone in our class. We had kind of a bad class, but he... Any adult can typically see through a kid's BS, and he did. And so you kind of repaid it in kind. We were generally good. And we had effed up in an entirely different class. But he hears wind of it. It was a very, very bad thing that happened in this other class. But he gets wind of this. So he was our final period of the day, and he just lays into us, all right? And at this time, he's maybe 36 years old. None of us realized that he had dentures. Nobody, okay? So as he is screaming at the class, and we truly feel bad because this guy's never yelled at. He's the only guy that's going to kind of give you a break. And we deserved it, and he's just crushing us on this. And it was kind of like a werewolf movie where, like, when you turn into a werewolf, like, your gums extend, okay? Because his teeth, they didn't, like, fall out. They started sliding down real slow. So as he's screaming... And his speech is getting a little flushy, right? Because all of a sudden, all you guys are sounding freaky. But we're looking at this. But it's, so at first, no one's sure. Like, are his gums getting bigger? Because to us, he's turning into a werewolf, right? So his gums are getting bigger. And everyone in the class is, no one's laughing. But everyone's looking at each other like, oh, my God. And just so we're about to freak out. Because there's now, like, an inch and a half of gum, right? So we are convinced, like, this dude is a monster. But then that top plate fell out, hit the floor. He was so embarrassed, right? And he snatches these things up. He sits down at his desk. He doesn't say anything. Nobody laughs. It's about 30 seconds. And the biggest goddamn clown in our class, this guy Lamont Gray, he was difficult, but he was funny. But in this, it's the only time I've seen any humanity with this kid. So remember, he looks at Mr. Roscoff and he just says, ma'am, it's okay. Right? That was it. Nobody said another word.
Nobody laughed.
Nobody laughed at this guy.
Wow.
Because he was a good guy. He treated, like, if you went to Baltimore City schools, this is all you hear. You suck. You're going to die or go to jail. That's all the time, constantly, right? This guy felt a little different about things, and he would kind of repeat that to you, so it felt good. But it was a weird, like, 45 seconds, like, this mother effer is actually a monster. Mm-hmm. His gums are growing in front of us. I'm like, oh, it's just, nobody laughed, though. Not a single person.
Well, and that's part of high school, too, right? Like, I feel like in high school, like, you get to a point where, like, the teachers are like...
You're almost peer.
Right.
More, this
like,
is more real.
They'll start treating you as an adult.
And, I mean, and T just, that's what we called the one guy, like, and T just chewed us out for, like, right. 15 minutes. But it was like...
You felt bad because you deserved it, right?
Right, exactly. And it didn't seem that out of line because, like, we were, like, seniors, right? Sure. And he was just like, you guys are idiots. Like, why would you do that?
What's wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is the worst. It still is. Right? Ah. And then I think he even threw in a poignant, like, and we have the president of the senior class in this one.
Yeah. Mine is like,
I'm not going to say my name, bro.
Mine was always just like, T, we get it. Everybody knows of the president of this class.
I am so disappointed.
Yeah, disappointment always sucks.
Dude, I dropped that once on my kids, and they seemed so crushed, and I felt bad. I just kind of wanted to end the situation. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, oh, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys, man. I'm just disappointed. And you could almost, like, feel the temperature drop, the air leave the room, and it's like, I have just devastated them. I don't let them dwell. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I guess it works.
It does.
Because I wasn't really that disappointed. Like, I was annoyed.
Because you know what? You're expecting much more, and I'm just going to say that I thought you were better people.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. I felt bad that I just crushed
their
souls.
I guess you guys are just the jackasses that I'm going to have to
I thought I raised you better. Okay. That is what it is.
But you're better people than that. Wait, I hope your grandmother never finds you.
You go cry in the room for 20 minutes now and think that I hate you.
She'll cry and run away.
I'll go drink a beer, too, and smoke a bong yet.
Miles, good news for you. I know you were kind of worried about the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
God,
you
never shut up about
it. Because she's so hot.
Well, is it right? You didn't want to do it. You love the original. You're a purist.
I'm a buffer.
Yeah, a buffer. I've heard that about you.
I'm a buff slayer.
A buffer. Buffer on the set.
I'm buff.
Slay the buff. Well,
good news. Your favorite actress, Sarah Someone's Michelle Gellar. She supports the new reboot, so you can stop hating
on it.
All
the way. She's a buffer, too.
Yeah, she's the original buffer. So does David Boreanaz,
Well, obviously, the first people that need a job.
Bori anus. It's the last thing you want. Isn't it Bori anus? Hey, Mr. Bori anus. That's how they say it, right?
Dig a hole in China.
Boreanus.
Oh, Boreanus.
Oh, Boreanus.
Yeah, I bet it's really Boreanus. Say honest, please.
It could be. He's a bad person.
Hey, Boreanus.
Mm-hmm. Wow, look, they both support Buffy coming back, the reboot.
Bring back the buffers.
All your buffers out there.
Buff heads.
Great news. Buff bums.
Buff nuggets.
I think they're buff heads.
Buff heads.
Yeah, yeah, put a sheen on it.
Oh, man. So Conan O'Brien, his show, they found out, like, he just having trouble on TBS, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and Miles, we've talked about this. Like, sometimes I almost forget he's there.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
And for whatever reason, like, even with HBO, like, I'm kind of trained to know on, like, Friday night they're going to have, like, Bill Maher. There's going to be a talk show on Sunday night. Same thing with, like, Showtime.
Levin is a tough time.
Yeah.
Unless you're watching Trevor Noah, you're probably watching Trevor Noah.
Right. So, basically, Conan's show has been cut down to half an hour, so they had to say goodbye to the band.
What?
Yeah, the basic cable band. They're gone.
Jesus Christ, man.
Well,
I mean, I get it.
Well, the whole idea is to be done with each show.
The monologue and like the interaction with the band, there won't be enough time. It's only going to be 30 minutes.
Basically, from what I understand, they're cutting this down from how Carson Daly used to come out if you're a drunk or drug addict and up at 1:30 in the morning. And his show used to come on. He used to come out and do stand-up. And then
he realized he's not funny.
And then all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I've got to change the way that I do my show. They nothing similar about how they're changing the way those shows go, but Conan is changing the way he does a show.
Yeah, and when he's on the road, people eat it up. And you're right. Carson Daly just now, like, sits, or I don't know if it's still on.
He just goes out and interviews.
He's just like,
oh, no, it's on. I woke up with a cat screaming at me last night. He's definitely on.
Yeah, he's just sitting in a bar, like, talking to a band.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is up? How have you progressed? What kind of strings do you use? I'm trying to put people to sleep, you understand. I'm out so late.
I have to have the most mundane, dumb interview ever.
Thank you, Ted. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Kentucky Hickey King is sentenced for burglary and rehab for 5 long years. Meanwhile, hundreds of phone calls come into a marine mammal center, and the culprit will leave you in tears. To Sweden, where a girl finds 1,500-year-old sword in a lake. In Minnesota, many birds will have a horrible hangover when they awake. And Rhode Island Attorney General candidate wins the Ugliest Man Alive Award. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story picking up where we left off. Police in Minnesota have been getting a lot of calls from people that have had birds fly into their windows, all having the same description of the bird's behavior. They all seem drunk.
which I don't know what a drunk bird looks like, but I'm guessing a lot of very wavy flying.
It appears
all
to me,
you need to know is that to a bird, when it's drunk, you look fine.
Based on the number of lakes, I guess, or the migration patterns or whatever's going on, maybe they just have a lot of birds there. But when the Vikings built their new stadium, there's this huge, the whole facade of one side of that stadium is glass. Yeah, so they have a group of people that just go every morning
scrape up all the bodies, scooper,
and just pick up all the dead
goodness.
Every single day.
As sad as it sounds, this is not a very rare occurrence. Due to the early frost, berries in the area froze earlier than usual, causing their starch to turn to sugar, which ferments the berry while they thaw.
Do you think the birds are happy about that? Like, sweet, early frost!
Yeah. Making the birds drunk off their asses while flying around.
Very good times.
Sweet, bitch!
Authorities told people that most of them will sober up in no time. I was wondering, if it's a bunch of crows that have been eating these berries, is that a drunk murder?
Oh, drunk murder.
That's murder of crows.
In other news, we stay in Minnesota, where some say they may have found the new rightful queen of Sweden. An 8-year-old girl was playing in a nearby lake where she usually plays by crawling on her hands and knees, grabbing at the rocks below her. This particular time, the girl ran her hand over something in the mud that felt like a handle. The young girl pulled the handle out, and out of the mud came a 1,500-year-old sword.
How did that not decompose?
It's just rusted, man.
You think it'd been in a lake, you'd think it would just, you know what I mean? Like, it would turn to dust.
I mean, there's only so much you can do before it just turns to iron. Now it's just this piece of rusted iron.
They were actually saying it was really well preserved.
I figured the whole thing got oxidized.
It did. It's a magical sword, dude.
Yeah. She gets to be the new queen
of Sweden.
That's
right.
Because keep in mind, when she found it, a unicorn dropped from the sky and she flew off.
Exactly.
Parents haven't seen
it. Lake Minnetonka.
She can make pancakes like a mofo.
Museum experts aren't sure how the sword came to be in the lake, but say it was nearly perfectly preserved. The little girl and her family have kept the sword, being that her dad is a huge Vikings fan and it looks like a Viking sword. And they have since moved to Sweden, where some are dubbing her their rightful queen.
Yeah, I am your queen.
All that really happened?
Yeah.
She's the queen now?
On a whim?
I don't know.
She pulled some magic sword out of the whatever, man. Nah,
my journalism doesn't dive into people's motives for moving, Miles.
Okay, all right. Normally it's a job.
The Hickey King is back in the news again. You may remember the story from a year ago when he was arrested and sporting a neck full of, wait for it, hickeys.
I just want to suck on your neck, Daryl.
I'm a neck sucker.
I love you sucking your neck.
He's back in the news again, this time pleading guilty to burglary and criminal mischief. He was placed in a 5-year diversion program and told to enter a rehab facility once a spot came available.
His crimes weren't that bad. It was the fact that his mugshot was just so ridiculous with like 900 hickeys all over his neck that you just go like,
I am the hickey king.
That's the only reason why he's back.
Exactly. Like, he didn't really do anything that bad, but the mugshot's like, oh my God, who would do that to anybody?
An animal hospital in Hawaii was put into a panic recently after they received multiple calls from a marine mammal center nearby. The calls came so frequently that the facility received 9 calls within 15 minutes, all of which were met with an eerie silence on the end of the line. Fearing something terrible, the hospital director rushed over to the facility to find the source. When she went into the laboratory, she found the culprit. She tweeted, quote, there's a gecko sitting on the touchscreen of the phone making calls with his tiny gecko feet.
Oh, so I was right. The nature minute's over. It's over.
That's it for headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Your guess is as good as mine next time, along with a random question, the return of the word, and men's room rules, bitches.
Yes, indeed. It's all true, but in the meantime, we be all about this bad. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.